This is the Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast Network. Welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Tyler Gunther, Kelly Appleby, and Tim Keller to bring us all in the huddle. This is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. Let's get to it with Tyler, Kelly, and Tim.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour. I'm your host, Tim Keller. Along with me are my two fantastic hosts, Tyler Gunther and Kelly Appleby. So, Tyler, how was your Easter, bud?
It was good. Just hung out with the family, had a good brunch. It was pretty good, you know, just low key. And yeah, how about yours?
Mine was good. I ate a lot of the Reese's peanut butter eggs. Kelly, did the Easter bunny shit in your basket?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Damn that Easter bunny.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. We have a very, very special guest along with us today. We're going to talk about a auction draft that some writers over at the site are doing, DynastyHappyHour.com. They're doing a startup auction draft right now, and one of the writers, Gabe, is going to join us today. So, Gabe, how you doing, buddy? And tell the fans a little bit about you.
Hey, what's up, Tim and the other Dynasty Happy Hour crew? Happy to be here, and thanks for having me. I've got my own little podcast with another DHH writer, Clint Folliwell. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that right. I've honestly never pronounced his last name.
Gabe, I didn't. Yeah, I didn't want to mess up your last name, so that's why I didn't pronounce that. I figured I'd let. Is it Gearing?
Yep, okay. Gearing. And that'll be the last time, Tim. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So we run a podcast called the Grab Bag Fantasy Podcast. We kind of specialize in interviewing different teams and figuring out structures in terms of what we can do for their dynasty teams in terms of drafting or trading or, you know, startup auctions and things like that. So, yeah.
Well, it's a great podcast. I suggest everybody go out and check it out. And like Gabe said, it's more personalized to your team. So you can let these guys get a good look at your team, your league, your roster, and they'll try to help you out and build that winning team. So before we get into what we're going to talk about today, we got our sponsor, RSO, Reality Sports Online. Have you ever wished to be an NFL general manager? Well, now you can, thanks to Reality Sports Online. Reality Sports Online is a powerful fantasy football platform where owners get to build and manage their fantasy team like an NFL general manager. Reality Sports Online was created by former NFL front office personnel and features a revolutionary free agency auction room, which mimics NFL free agency, enabling fantasy owners to negotiate and sign NFL's top talent to single or multi-year contracts. The platform can host up to 32 teams and has tons of other cool features in addition to the free agency, like the rookie draft, multi-team trades, franchise tags, injured reserve, automated contract and salary cap functionality, as well as much, much more. Test your general manager skills for free with our 14-day free trial over at realitysportsonline.com. Take your league, take your team, go over to Reality Sports Online. 14 days completely free. If you don't love it, obviously you can go back to what you were using. But if you like what you see over at Reality Sports Online, and I bet you will, you can use our custom code Happy10 and receive 10% off your team or league's initial fees. Fantasy just got real at realitysportsonline.com. So with that being said, we're having an auction startup as we speak. This was put together by Mr. Fantasy Insanity himself. So, Tyler, why don't you kind of introduce the league a little bit and kind of what we're doing here?
Holy cow, this league is something else. I tell you, I came in kind of excited but nervous. I love auctions, so I'm like, okay, it can't be too bad. It is a new monster to me. I mean, you have $1,500 of auction money, and then you get $250 at the end of the auction for rookie auction. Like, it's mind-blowing, and it's hard to get a hold of, as you will hear with my team. I made some moves to kind of get a hold of the strategy. I mean, people are... I feel like we're going to lose about 5 to 8 writers just because people are going to be so upset at each other. It's fun. It's exciting. It's in your face. Everybody's trash talking. I mean, Jacob is always provoking. Like, oh, I'm going to outbid you. Oh, here it comes. It's going to come. Like we're on a Voxer chat, so you can actually talk. And man, it's something else. It's probably the most intense auction or draft I've ever been in. And it's a form of capitalist pigs, which he got from Scott Fish. Scott Fish is also another guy who creates crazy leagues with John. Yeah, I mean, it's fun. And I mean, what does everybody else think about this? Because I'm still speechless at some of the auctions.
Well, real quick, you kind of mentioned this is a knockoff capitalist pigs scoring and roster building type setup. And you mentioned it's a $1,500 cap for the initial auction with the $250, you know, add-in for the rookie draft. Any unused money from the startup gets rolled into that account. So all the money continues to roll over. So you can spend all your money in the initial and you're going to have $250 for that rookie, or you can kind of try to buy some value players and you're probably going to have a little bit more money than most people will come this rookie draft if you want to try to go young. So Gabe, you're the guest. What do you think of this auction and this league so far?
Well, yowza is my first reaction. I've been in a few auctions myself. My first dynasty league that I joined was an auction. So I had a little bit of, you know, expertise, one could say. No, not really at all. I had no idea what I was doing. And especially because $1,500 to start, it all rolls over. And you also are getting $1.25 at the start of the season for free agents. And yep. Then I believe $50 at the end of the season for free agents. And then there's that whole kind of calculation as far as who gets what and how much money for rookies when we start talking about 2018. So, I mean, this is actual like life.
you're starting with account. This,
like, yeah, exactly.
You're budgeting.
Get this, you put in this CD at 10 years old and then at 18, you take it out and you get $1,500 and be like, okay, what are you going to do with your life?
And obviously you guys know how bad of a spender I am when it comes to my team.
and it all continues to roll and the money is tradable. You can trade money in this. Like if Gabe wins a player that maybe for whatever reason, I just completely missed bidding on, I can go to Gabe and say, hey, I really want that receiver you just got. I know you paid X amount for him. Let me throw another $5 on top of that. What do you think? We've seen one or two of those so far. We've seen player for player straight up already. Like Gabe said, he did a regular auction, and it's crazy that was the very first dynasty league you ever did, by the way, Gabe, to just jump in right into an auction. That's pretty nuts.
Yeah.
But this type of auction is on another level, and because you're most people budget during their auction. You are now budgeting for this auction with the thought of how much do I want to try to save for the rookie auction? Do I want to save any? And then you're getting more for free agency. You're getting more at the end of the season. This is a forward-thinking person's league for sure. So, Kelly, we haven't heard from you yet. What do you think of this auction? What do you think of this league?
Well, I'm just getting my feet wet, to be honest. I mean, I'm trying to understand. I've never been really good with personal finances myself. So, for me to apply it to fantasy football for the first time, I'm just trying to not spend too much money because I know putting yourself in a hole and, you know, spending all your money on that inflatable hot tub is sometimes not a good life choice.
Hey, come on now. Sometimes you could trade the inflatable hot tub for an above ground pool.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe it's an inflatable hot tub time machine.
Yeah,
you never know.
I could teleport back and draft LaDainian Tomlinson in his prime.
Yeah,
it's a good one. So let's talk a little bit about rosters. So Gabe, again, you're the guest. We'll go to you first. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your roster, your thought here? Maybe not necessarily give your tactic away, but just what do you think of your team so far? And what's your thoughts with you have just under $1,200 left? You only have two players on the roster. So what are you thinking here, bud?
I have to pull up my roster because I honestly don't even know who I've gotten. I have so many.
You have open. You have Carlos Henderson. You may have Carlos Henderson here in a few weeks. Carlos Hyde, you paid $91 for him. And then Allen Robinson is your other player there, $216, you are chatting with two right. guys that are extremely high on him. Kelly is not low on him by any means, but Tyler and I get a little crazy about Allen Robinson from time to time. And you're the guy that walked away with Allen Robinson here for $216. So how do you feel about those guys? Good prices? Are you happy with that?
I better be happy with that for $216. I mean, I feel like it, what, as far as the projection model that I've created, it is a little bit undervalued, and I still got a deal on him. However, the way that things are going, I feel like it's still, the projection might be off a little bit, and there, it could be overpaid just a tad. I mean, we just saw Demaryius Thomas go for $95, and I'm pretty upset about that. So there's a lot of players that are undervalued, overvalued, and I've created this projection, but it's really kind of not projecting things very well because there's so many things that are off, and it's hard to create an actual average. I'm pretty high on Hyde this year. I think that he's a little underappreciated, so I feel comfortable with him on my team. And I know we only have to start one running back and just one wide receiver, and then the four flexes, and of course the super flex. But so I feel comfortable with just getting at least one of kind of each, at least, and going from there. I still have a lot of guys open right now, such as Andrew Luck and your other boy, Tyler Dante Moncrief, and Gronk and Abdullah. So there's some things coming around, but it's stressful, man.
Yeah, I'm upset at myself about the Allen Robinson thing, because I had David Johnson and I was looking to flip him to get a little extra money because I bought him for $338. I thought I'd start off the market. I'm a big proponent of get a couple guys early, because a lot of people don't do that. A lot of people like to sit on their money for a little bit during auctions, and I feel like the first auction is the way to go for a couple players. And honestly, I regretted not waiting, because I messaged you at night, and I feel like you might have done that deal
with David Johnson.
Yeah, it was David Johnson, like an extra $80 for Allen Robinson. And I wish I would have done that, but instead I dealt David Johnson for like $285 straight up. So, I mean, that was the thing. I didn't know the values. I went for David Johnson. I went for the big time guy, and realized that with the super flex, I was really, really hurting myself by doing that. So I got out of that.
I don't think you lost too much really with the, because you ended up getting Gurley, and you probably did that kind of that you were sweating losing David Johnson that quickly going on tilt, as Jacob referenced it. But I mean, I think you lost money, but I don't think you lost as much as if you would have kept David Johnson.
Yep, I agree. And it helped me get Carson Wentz, who is another quarterback I'm pretty high on. I know we're here with two Eagles fans that would say otherwise, but I think Wentz is, you know, you see quarterbacks come into the league and you see what they can be and you see flashes. And I think with Wentz, I love the quarterback position. And with Wentz, I just see it. I see a top 10 quarterback. And I think the Eagles do too. And that's what kind of pushed me to do it. I know I really pushed that quarterback market up with Jameis Winston at 260. And Clint, this is for you. I did it just for you. I pushed all the tier two quarterbacks up just for you.
You're definitely not lying. The quarterback prices have kind of gone through the roof. So if you can get a quarterback at a good price, that might be just the angle you need to kind of, air quotes here, win the draft. Gabe spoke about maybe not necessarily being completely in love with the price he got Allen Robinson. That's 14% of your overall budget. So again, I'm not trying to get your strategy here, but is that going to make you think a little bit more about maybe bidding as high on some other people, or are you going to try to find some more values going forward, or what's the thought here?
Where are you curious? Where are you getting the 14% from? Out of how much money?
Out of the 1500, correct?
Okay. So how I'm kind of looking at it, I will show this kind of tactical strategy, I guess, because I don't know. I think everyone should at least a little bit, except Tyler, you can just sit aside for a second because you've spent too much money. You can't really listen to this.
Yeah, I've got $30.
So what I referenced earlier, that this auction is just kind of like life. And I did take, you know, a couple financial classes in my day. I still don't know how to save money. I'm spending it left and right. But I do feel like there's a common rule to spend 70%, to invest 20%, and save 10%. That's kind of a general rule of thumb in life, kind of where you're paying 70% of your bills and kids and whatever. And I'm sure that's not even necessarily accurate because we're paying way more than we want to. But I'm trying to use that in this fantasy football auction a little bit. So what I'm using is more of the entire money that I get from the year. And it's $1,825 because I'm including that free agent money that we start with the year with. And then I'm taking 70% of that and I'm spending that on the guys that I need in this auction. So yeah, for me, that percentage is a little bit lower and it didn't seem as bad.
No, and my rule of thumb with auctions is you take the tiers for your rankings and you put a percentage of money down on that. Like David Johnson was around 20 to 25%. A stud, a full-blown number one player is around 25% of your budget. And then as you drop down the percentage of money. You have a range of percentage that you can spend on a player. So 14% realistically isn't that much on Allen Robinson, who say you take in the early second round of startups now, which I still would take him in the mid to late first. Mm-hmm. I still think that is a great price. And I honestly, I was thinking about bidding up, and I, like I said, I wish I would have done that trade. But yeah, I mean, I would be happy with that price. I mean, you're paying for the 2015 year Allen Robinson, and you're hoping he bounces back, which Tim and I will probably believe he will. So yeah, I mean, it's a lot of money for a high end player, and I'm okay with that.
I was right there in the same boat as Tyler, where I know you and I, Gabe, went back and forth on Allen Robinson a couple different times, and it was one of those things where I was just like, there's other guys that I'm going to want to spend some more money on coming up. So I kind of let that one walk away. But looking at this right now, I think you have four other guys here on the board: Moncrief, Andrew Luck, Gronk, and then Amir Abdullah. So you got some more bids out there. You're hopefully going to land some more of these players. A couple of these guys are pretty short clocks, actually. It's a 16-hour rolling clock. Once somebody outbids another player, it resets to 16 hours, and we just go from there. So, Gabe, good luck going forward on those. So, Kelly, let's go over and focus on your team now. I believe you have three players. Is that right?
That is correct. I got Shady McCoy for 96. I think I don't know if he was the first or second one I got. I think if it's listed chronologically, he would have been the first one. So, to the $1,500 denominator, that'd be 6.4% for him. I mean, I didn't want to spend too much on a running back, but he's still, in my opinion, in the prime of his career and still should produce at a decent level. Got Antonio Brown there for 217. That's 14.5%, and Hunter Henry for 118. So I definitely have some more holes to fill. I'm trying to not spend more than a certain percentage amount, but like I said, I'm still just getting my feet wet with the understanding the whole concept here of an auction. This is my first one, so just trying to catch up with you guys who've already done it for a couple of years is somewhat daunting.
I like the deals on what you got there for the most part, Kelly. I think it being a tight end premium, I have Hunter Henry projected to be about $85, so you'd consider an overpayment, but maybe not necessarily for the tight end premium. LeSean McCoy was a huge steal. You got probably $30-$40 out of that of extra spending money. And Antonio Brown is arguably, you know, I know it's kind of RB and super flex premium there. So you did well on there as well. That was about at value, probably around maybe saved $10 or $15 or so, but I think you did well, in my opinion.
It's good to hear. I like positive feedback.
Yeah, I agree with Gabe. I think McCoy, Antonio Brown, I think you paid Antonio Brown's probably right about there. McCoy, you probably got for a bit of a value. And Hunter Henry is another guy where it just got to a certain point with Hunter Henry. I know I had some bids in on him as well, and it just got to a certain point, and I said to myself, I'll walk away from this one, and we'll see who ends up with him. So I guess we'll save Tyler for last, because he's one of the guys in this league that has the most players currently rostered. So we'll look at my roster. Just this morning, I won Ben Roethlisberger for $145, and then Stefon Diggs for $143. I have $1,200 left. I think there's like two or three people that have more cap room available still. So I definitely will be spending this going forward. I don't necessarily love Ben, especially considering he was saying he was contemplating retirement. I don't think anybody really believed that for one bit. But when Ben's healthy, Ben is easily one of the top five fantasy quarterbacks. So being super flex, I wanted to get a, air quotes here, stud quarterback in this league. And then it's well documented my love for Stefon Diggs. But even my love for Stefon Diggs, I put a cap on him. And had this gone too much longer, I would have hit that cap and somebody else would have ended up getting Diggs from me. So, Gabe, you got the spreadsheet. You got these numbers. Tell me how bad I've messed this up.
So you've got Diggs and Roethlisberger. That's right.
That's it.
Diggs was another huge steal. And it's the more we bring up these these kind of tier two wide receivers among Allen Robinson and Keenan Allen, Sammy Watkins, I kind of feel like I overpaid. T.Y. Hilton went for like 160. So you did great there on Stefon Diggs. Ben Roethlisberger. Ben Roethlisberger. Ben Roethlisberger was about right at value. Maybe give a little bit of a bump for the super flex idea. But I almost bumped you this morning. I was really thinking about it because I think he was around 150, 155 in value for me. And I still need quarterbacks. So you're lucky. You're lucky too.
Yeah, I think I think in the next coming days, you and I will probably battle out over a QB or two.
Yeah, going forward. Tim, you're pretty lucky on Diggs. He's one of my guys I love too. I think you and me are very high on him. I almost outbid you, but my respect and love for you just made me hold back because I knew you would hunt me down. You would drive up here to Minnesota and you would hunt me down. And I like living. So I decided.
Well, I purposely didn't nominate Diggs. I wanted somebody else to nominate him. And early on in the Diggs auction, I was a high bid. And I think Kelly was the first person to outbid me. And I sent him a text and I threatened to break his arm if he outbid me again. So I made it pretty clear to him anyways. And then I did go to the Boxer chat and just let everybody know I'm not above violence.
Yeah, it got pretty serious the last time I took Diggs.
It's all joking,
In a league. I didn't want to actually like push him over the edge because it was like the first time I was ever really nervous that he might actually hunt me down and stab me. And I'm definitely within driving range. So
yeah, you're pretty close.
Now, Tyler, I knew when you didn't get Robinson, I might have an issue getting Diggs, but I was happy to get him. So just letting the guys know, I still have a good bit of cap room. So if there's guys out there that I want, I'm gonna go after them. So we'll see how I keep doing. So Tyler, you have you got nine guys. I want to say.
Yep.
Yeah, you got nine guys. So you already mentioned some of your quarterbacks. You got Carson Wentz, Jameis Winston. What do you think of your QBs?
I love them. I spent on them. 260 for Winston, 234 for Wentz. I mean, I paid for them and I like them. So,
well, just comparing those prices, I'd say you got take everything else out of there. If you said I got Jameis Winston for 260 and then I had to pay 234 for Carson Wentz, I would say you got a good deal on Winston, or you overpaid on Wentz. That's just my personal opinion. So we'll go to Gabe. And what do you think of these quarterbacks?
Talent wise, I'm a huge fan of Winston. So I wasn't so mad at you overpaying because you did just about 15, 20 bucks. But honestly, if that's the guy you want, then you got to get the guy that you want. As far as Wentz, when I was going back to check in the morning a few days ago, I was like, oh, I can get Wentz, maybe just below 200. And then I see him bumped up at like 225. I'm like, oh my God, what am I going to do here? And so, in my opinion, it's kind of swinging big for the fences on Carson Wentz, but that was a pretty big overpay, close to maybe $70 to $80, but you have security, you have quarterbacks. That's kind of what it's about in a super flex league. So it is what it is.
Yeah.
And I think Tyler, you can kind of look at the fact that the Eagles have at least shown that they're attempting to put pieces around Carson. So if you believe in the product, the Eagles are at least showing that they kind of believe in the product, that this might work out for you here.
Yeah, I'm happy with it. I think Winston is my number two quarterback overall in my rankings. So I have him next to Luck, and Luck is still out there at around 260 something.
Yep.
And Wentz is probably right outside of my tier one quarterbacks, like right outside the quarterback ones. So yeah, I love both of them. Like you guys said, I got security. They're both young. And in a super flex, I mean, you have to have two.
Yeah. Luck's still out there at 265 right now. But let's move down to your running backs. Isaiah Crowell, Todd Gurley, and CJ Procise. Surprise, surprise. Tyler got his guy Procise.
I snuck him.
You got Procise at $82. And with the, again, with how documented your love interest is with CJ Procise, I'm surprised nobody just ran you up on him.
Yeah, me too.
No doubt.
Todd Gurley at 215 and Isaiah Crowell at 87. So again, Gabe, we're going to get back to you. You're the number man today. How are you doing as running backs?
Well, as far as goat size, since he is your goat, you got a huge value on him, you know, according to you.
Yeah, he should be like 300 some dollars.
Right, exactly. Number one overall. Why don't you just get David Johnson back for Procise? You got him, as far as the projection model goes, you got him at value. So, and then in terms of rankings, you know, you probably got a steal. So you probably 20 to 30 buck difference there. Gurley, as far as ADP in this projection model goes, is actually the most overpaid player in this draft so far. So
damn straight.
Yeah. But I believe the process as well. I think he just had a down year. And honestly, I said this in the chat that Gurley can easily be David Johnson's price next year. We saw it before. We just need the Rams offense to be better and the offensive line and just that whole situation. But I'm kind of a believer, so I don't blame it.
Yeah, and honestly, my favorite is Crowell. $87, and I am very high in Crowell. I think he's going to have a huge year behind that offensive line. I think the Browns have his back now. So yeah, I love $87 for Crowell. I think that is humongous value for somebody who could be a running back one.
Yeah, I mean, I have to agree with you. You got a starting running back who has the potential to be an RB1, like you mentioned, for $87. So I'm completely, I think you're, sorry, Procise, but I think the best running back here when it comes to value-wise is Crowell. Looking at your wide receivers, I like this wide receiver core a good bit, actually. Keenan Allen, $200. I was kind of surprised.
I traded him. I traded. The guy was kind of down that he got him for $200. And I think it was Michael, maybe. And Michael Kimball, a writer of ours, he was kind of mad he overpaid. And I went up to him and I said, I'll give you $175 for him. And he took it. So I got Keenan Allen for $175 instead of $200.
You got Doug Baldwin here at $140. DeSean Jackson, $75. And then Sterling Shepard for $56.
I don't know
bucks.
How that happened. I have no idea how that happened.
I don't know. I completely forgot to upbid him this morning.
I honestly missed out on that one because I was looking at him yesterday. I'm like, I bet he's going to go up. He's going to go up. I'll see where he is in another, you know, 10 hours or so. And same thing with Gabe. I got on this morning expecting his price to be somewhere in the $80, $90 range. And then I would have that debate with myself whether or not to get in on him. And Tyler has him at 56. So congratulations there. Gabe, once again, back to you for the numbers. How'd he do?
He got his David Johnson money back on Sterling Shepard big time.
Yeah. I
mean, he's projected to be about $120. So I mean, huge value there that I think everyone's just really scared of that Brandon Marshall edition, and everyone's cooling on Sterling Shepard, but he had a fine year for a rookie. I don't see anything that went wrong necessarily. I mean, just play your cards right and be patient and he should be fine. Maybe not necessarily wide receiver one numbers eventually, but if he's just a solid wide receiver too, that's great. Keenan Allen actually was about at price for $200. So, and then you gain some more money back by getting him for $185. So that was great as well. Who else were
Doug Baldwin for $140?
Oh yeah. Well, I hate Doug Baldwin. I don't even want to talk about him.
I used to be in the same boat as you, but the more I watched of him, I just liked his grittiness. I love those guys that kind of came out of nowhere and just work their tail off to be better. And I think he's kind of a magician at the receiver position. He's going to fool you. He's going to think he's got one hand, and then all of a sudden he's got a different hand going to poker, comparing it to poker. I mean, I just love the style of his play. I agree. I don't know about that passing offense. And with ProSize probably taking 100% of every snap and workload and every touch, oh, it's going to be tough for anybody to have any touches there. So,
So are you considering Doug Baldwin the CJ ProSize handcuff now?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I think Russell Wilson is the ProSize handcuff too. Okay. So, yeah, it's tough.
You did get him at value, Tyler, if that makes you feel any better. But as far as my rankings, it was completely.
Well, for a backup.
And then DeSean Jackson, we're going to have four flex positions here in this league. So DeSean Jackson could be a guy that by weeks, I don't know if he's going to be an every week starter. He's just not that type of player. He never really has been. So I think he could fill in for you on some bye weeks. Hopefully you catch some of those big games that he probably has. But playing there opposite Mike Evans now in Tampa Bay, and you got the quarterback with Jameis Winston, so you have that connection. Do you like the DeSean Jackson for 75?
I definitely do. If that was a question for Tyler. You can answer as well.
But you can go ahead.
So that 75 was a good price for you, and the thing is that I think that's what he will be worth at some point during the season, and if you want to flip him at that point because he is 30 years old, you know. I'm sure all the DHH people already heard that, so you can't sell him now. Sorry, Tyler.
It's all right. I actually intend to keep him. I think the landing spot's fantastic. I think Winston has one of the best deep balls in the league, and it's a perfect marriage. It's one of those things where in the free agency, you wanted either Kenny Stills or DeSean Jackson to go to Tampa Bay because they just needed that deep threat, and I think he is a perfect fit. Honestly, he could be a spot start. I think he's going to be an every week start for me. And that's why I kind of did the 75. And with all this spending, I've got one auction up. I mean, I don't have much money, so I'm going to be bargain shopping for most of the rest. And hopefully maybe I can get, you know, a couple rookies here and there. I talked to John about a rookie I absolutely am in love with that I am shooting for the moon in the rookie auction. So
Wayne Gallman.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I'm done.
Corey Clement.
Hey now.
Oh, you are well documented fan of Corey Clement.
Yeah.
It is not gonna be any sort of surprise when you start trying to get Corey Clement for like $3-4 because nobody else really has an interest in him.
We need to have cent increments for the rookie draft.
I am going to laugh when somebody tries to bid me up on Clement and I laugh and I'm like, okay, he's theirs.
Enjoy, yeah.
Because I like Clement, but I like him as a value. That's what people are getting wrong.
And Tyler, you got Jordan Matthews here. 2 hours left for $93. Nice little value.
Yeah, I mean, if somebody takes them, they can go for it. I mean, like I said, I'm low on cash. I can use as much as I want. And with a lot of players still on the board, like Tyrell Williams, I'm a fan of. Gio, I mean, Kelly's favorite, Thomas Rawls, is still up there.
I don't know where you got that from. Thomas Rawls.
Don't forget, Will Fuller is still out there. So I feel like I need to save some money for that.
They're going to need Pat Mahomes to make Will Fuller relevant again.
Well, Tyler, I've done you a favor, and I bid you up on Jordan Matthews.
I didn't want you to.
As we speak.
All right.
I mean, you did say it if someone wants to pay for him. You know?
You've got the money, and honestly, it helps me. I mean.
I figured it'd be something fun for the show here, too. So real quick, does anybody have any advice for, I mean, Kelly, this is your first auction period. So what have you learned so far in your auction life?
For me, it's just trying to go along with the flow of everybody else, but sticking to a standard is the biggest thing I see. Like if other people want to spend top dollar on those guys, I could see the mindset of that, but then their team could be top end heavy if they don't make the moves to even it out. Like I think Tyler's done a really good job of evening it out after he started off like insanely huge on one guy. So there's different many ways you can approach this, but for me, I'm just trying to take it nice and easy and have a little bit of firepower here once some of these bigger names go off.
And Gabe, you have spreadsheets and value charts, and what would you say is a big piece of advice, especially for an auction like this?
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily need everyone to, you know, take 4 years of math in college and figure out what the heck an exponential function means, but you don't really need that. You can kind of, everyone has played this before. They can gauge values to a degree a little bit. And my big suggestion would be to, and how I got that model is I just kind of waited for about 10 to 15 players or so to go off the board so I could get a gauge of where exactly the max was. The top player in this draft, Mike Evans, $350, and Tyler got David Johnson for $338. I didn't project that kind of model, but it helped me predict where future players were going to go. Another thing is that value can be had in these drafts, but it's easy in an auction to get sucked into these guys that you don't necessarily want. So just have the balls to let them go. And even though that someone else got them for a value, like, that's cool.
I completely agree. My tip would be, don't panic. Stay patient. Sometimes it's better to just fold and wait for the next hand. Since we were talking about cards earlier, I'll go back to it. Just like Gabe just said, don't get sucked in because all of a sudden you're thinking, I don't have any running backs and everybody else already has two. If you feel that everybody else is overpaying for running backs, just wait. Wait till you get your values, because guys will get out of the running back market and you'll be one of like three or four other guys bidding on the running backs. You'll get better values. You'll get guys that you may not like as much as a David Johnson, but you'll like the price tag on those players better. So just be patient. Like Gabe said, have the balls to walk away when you think things are going to get a little too out of hand or a little too pricey, and just wait for the next guy. So Tyler, what's your biggest piece of advice?
Go for your guys, but have a limit. I mean, that's probably the biggest thing. It doesn't matter. Like, Gabe's got a spreadsheet, but have your own values, kind of do your thing. If you still feel like there's a value on the board, say you don't even like a player, and I mean, you see the price and you're like, wow, he is great value, but I just don't like him. Still go for it. I mean, if you see value, go for it. If you see a guy that is your guy and he still seems cheap to you, but you're kind of scared to bid because you're afraid somebody's going to bid on your players, still go for him. I mean, the auction is long. It doesn't need to end right away. And I mean, just play it out. And I feel like auctions is like a storm. It's going to start off a little wavy and then it's going to hit, and you got to roll with the tide. You got to kind of adjust accordingly. Things are going to change. Like when I bid up Jameis and Mariota, things changed. The quarterback market.
You ruined everyone. Yep.
I did. I loved it. And I felt like I was in control. And that's what you want. Like John has three great quarterbacks for very good prices, and he has control of the market. He can go sell those guys for a good amount more than what he got him for, just because he jumped on him early before the quarterback market was set. And that's where it comes from. What I like to do, get a couple guys early, have control of the market. And then when the market shifts, you actually have control of getting, you know, a better price for those players you got for cheap.
Yeah. Especially with the super flex thing, Tyler, that was kind of my strategy going in, is trying to get those quarterbacks early, because people don't really know what the market is for quarterbacks yet, especially with crazy amounts of money that John throws at us and we have no idea what to do with it. So for him to get the two quarterbacks that he did were immense values. And I just didn't, I wanted to do that, but I wasn't crazy about the ones that were there, and it was Cam and Dak Prescott. So, but now he has the market control, so maybe it was worth it anyways.
Well, now that we've all talked about our teams, and we mentioned that this league was set up by John Bosch, so he's played in the style format. So you guys want to talk a little trash? Is this like backdoor cheating? Does he have an advantage over us in any way, shape, or form?
I think a little bit. I would have to say him, Clint, and Mark Hill, they all have played in this format before. So they kind of have the ability to kind of gauge what's going to happen. I'm in the same boat as Gabe. My first three Dynasty Leagues were contract auction leagues, and I absolutely love the auction format, but I always did a 300 budget, and then you also put contracts on players. So contracts and price control value. And the $1,500 budget really, really made me had to bust out a calculator and kind of be like, okay, what are the values on these guys? how am I going to go about? Because like 200, 300 is a normal auction value. That's what, you know, auctions usually are. So yeah, I kind of had to adjust. And as you can tell with my price on David Johnson, I didn't really adjust right. So
yeah, I thought you build, so far you've built yourself quite a nice roster, and you didn't get all your money back for David Johnson, but you got some of it back. And as you mentioned, it helped you build a team more to your liking instead of just being so heavily invested in one guy. So,
yep.
I gotta say big thank you to Mr. John Bosch. Super, super fun so far. I haven't been in as many of these bids that I would like to have been in, just because I'm trying to hold back.
Rookies. You're going for the rookies.
Not necessarily.
I know.
We mentioned the Voxer chat. I would go to sleep and wake up, and there would be 120 Voxer messages back and forth after like 5 or 6 hours. The guys are loving this. So, John, thank you so much for setting this up. This is going to be a really fun league, a blast. The auction alone has gotten their feelings hurt too much. But I imagine, you know, by the end of this, there's going to be some guys with some built-in rivalries going on. We didn't even mention the bets.
Yeah,
you can bet in this thing. Yes, little side bets that include, you know, some of this auction money, rookie money, any of the money, players. You can bet whatever you want, really. Jelly beans that you may have gotten in your Easter basket, whatever it is. So I'll have to start dreaming up some of these bets and see if I can't get some of you guys on the hook for some of these going forward. That's for sure.
That's what I said was going to get me in trouble in this league is all the betting that you can do.
Yeah. It's a nice little caveat that most leagues don't have. So I'm interested to see how this goes. That's for sure. Does anyone have a bet out there yet? I don't think we have any bets in the league.
No, I don't think there is. I tried
making a bet and saying that I would take the field versus who was going to get Dante Moncrief, Tyler, Mark, Tyler the field. Or John, and I would take the field.
Yeah, I think John and I are kind of trying to step back a little bit on Moncrief. I know John said he sold 3 shares of him. So yeah, I mean, I'm trying to step away a little bit until he shows me a little more. I honestly, from his rookie year to now, I did not expect how he's progressed. I thought he was going to be a big play, fast, tall guy that could progress into a poor man's Julio Jones. His rookie year showed he's a deep ball guy. He's fast, he's big, and he's progressing to a possession guy, and I'm just not happy with that. And that's why I'm kind of backing away from him.
All right. Well, I think that's going to wrap this up. If you want to hit us up on Twitter, let us know what you think about these rosters we built so far. Maybe give some of us some tips on strategy you would implement, or I don't know, give us a shopping list, guys you'd like to see added to these rosters. Gabe, where can the people find you on Twitter?
At Grab Bag Fantasy, and you may as well follow my co-host as well for the Grab Bag Fantasy podcast at Fantasy Pastor, but you don't have to.
Yeah, he's also a ranker of ours, and you can just avoid his ranks. So,
Oh, they're throwing shade on Pastor. Kelly, where can they find you?
At Dynasty Kelly App.
You can find me at Tim Dynasty FF. And Tyler?
At DHH Gunth.
Guys, I look forward to finishing up this draft and playing in this league. And this rookie auction is going to be a mess, too. this is going to go on forever, it seems. So this is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we'll probably be into the season for the rookie auction, so.
We'll have a better evaluation of the players then.
Yeah, it's true.
Corey Clement might be actually off of a team by then.
Oh, roasting.
You know what? I'm just going to let his play speak for itself, and I will get roasted if I have to.
Do we count CFL points?
Yes, I think you should. Arena League.
Arena League. Yeah. Nice.
Let's do a Corey Clement bet right now, Tyler.
Ooh.
With my $2 I have.
You're getting rookie money.
Yeah, bet that rookie money.
Do a top pick in the or round in the draft, a projected round, and I'll take the over, whatever you want.
I already know what round he's probably gonna go in, like 5 to 7.
Yeah. I'm letting you pick the round.
You know what? I'm gonna go 6.
All right, 6th round. I got to take the over. Yikes. Like beginning of 6th round?
I'll say any part of the 6.
All right.
So if he goes seventh or undrafted.
Give him a little bit of room. Say pick 16 or later in the sixth.
All right. Honestly, I feel like he's going to go like pick 30 in the sixth round. In my mind, I honestly feel that. I am terrible at bets. Let's just do $10. A fun all little right, bet.
Of the rookie money?
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect.
There you go. Live on the podcast, the league's first bet. So you guys will have to get that in there, get that on the record books. That way it's all marked down. Anybody else got anything?
Corey Clement, don't let me.
I think you need to talk to the NFL general managers more than Corey Clement at this point.
I feel like Princess Leia, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
So that's going to wrap it up for the Dynasty Happy Hour podcast. You can reach us on Twitter at DHHpod, DynastyHappyHour@gmail.com. If you have any longer form questions, go over to the site, DynastyHappyHour.com. You can check out the rankings, the articles. Tyler, you have an auction article up over there. You can check that out if you want to read maybe his article on his auction strategy. And then
the article is a lot better than what I'm doing right now.
I was going to say, you can see that he didn't necessarily follow his own advice there maybe. So you can go read the article and then talk a little trash about where he messed up. Other than that, I think that's going to wrap it up, guys.
Yeah. The draft is coming up. I mean, we're in single digit, you know, numbers away from the draft. We have our live show coming on. We're going to have a plethora of people on, and it's going to be fun. I'm just going to enjoy it. I know John Paul Hurley, he said he was going to join the live show and watch us kind of make a fool of ourselves. So that would be fun having him watching.
It won't be hard.
Yeah, it won't be. I mean, as long as nobody has a Steelers flag behind him. And... Steve, if you're watching, you better be. That's all.
That was a Minnesota threat if I've ever heard one.
You better be, because I'm going to apologize.
You better. Watch
I'm
out.
I'm going to apologize. So you come up here and you have a little crock pot dish. I'm
we've gone off the rails now, so let's go ahead and wrap this up.
Yeah. And until next time.
Draft, auction, trade, win, repeat.
That's all the time we got today for another Dynasty Happy Hour. Be sure and follow the guys on Twitter at DHHGunth, at Dynasty Kelly App, at Tim Dynasty FF, and most importantly, at Dynasty HH Pod. The music for this podcast was brought to you by The Morning Kings. Be sure and check them out at themorningkings.com. Catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour. This has been a Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast Network.